Welcome to Beyond the Show, the podcast home of all things Cannabis Conference. My name is Eric Sandy, and I'm the digital editor of the Cannabis Group at GIE Media. We're about a month away from Cannabis Conference now, and our plans are looking great for our seventh annual industry event. One notable addition is the short track of educational sessions dedicated to home growers. We will be running those sessions just off the expo floor this year, so make sure to check out those new topics on the schedule over at cannabisconference.com. And the venue is allowing seed sales on the floor this year, which I think will pair nicely with this new venture into home grow and small-scale environmental control education. Also note that we still are offering a discount on registration now through July 19th. So visit cannabisconference.com to learn more, sign up for the newsletter, and of course, register yourself and your team for this event in Las Vegas. We're very excited to see you out there. Someone else who is excited to see you all is our guest this week, Kevin Kitte, the Chief Cultivation Officer at Loom Cannabis Company in Michigan. Kevin joined Loom in February 2018 as Vice President of Cultivation, where he designed and now operates 250,000 square feet of indoor cultivation, 20 acres of outdoor, and a processing lab. And prior to joining Loom, Kevin held leadership and operational roles in the cannabis industry for 7 years. He was the Chief Operating Officer of GB Sciences, where he designed and operated state-of-the-art facilities for cultivation, extraction, and edibles in Nevada, as well as grew several hundred acres of outdoor hemp in Colorado and partnered with LSU to design and build the only licensed cannabis facility in Louisiana. During this time, Kevin acquired the third agricultural hemp license in China and designed an industrial hemp park and commercial processing center in the Hsinchu province. Kevin began his career by building the highest-grossing cannabis company in the state of Arizona as chief operating officer and co-owner of Bloom, a vertically integrated licensee. We talked about the latest news at Loom in Michigan, as well as the sessions that he'll be helping to lead at Cannabis Conference, including the VIP Cultivation Roundtable and Management Bootcamp, helping you become a cultivation leader. You can learn more about that session, as well as the full day-long schedule for the roundtable over at cannabisconference.com. And in the meantime, please enjoy my conversation with Kevin Kitte. Hello, Kevin, and welcome to the show this week. Very glad to get a chance to talk with you about your work at Loom Cannabis Company and certainly your role in Cannabis Conference, which is really right around the corner. You know, we're talking here in early July, and the show's about 5 weeks away. So there's certainly a lot to get into, and it's a very timely opportunity to speak with you. You know, I was just thinking, of course, Cannabis Business Times is based here in Northeast Ohio, and I find myself in Michigan pretty frequently. And not too long ago was at the Petersburg location of Loom Cannabis. So it's been fun getting to know the company both from, you know, this magazine perspective, but also as a customer. So I figured, I guess to get in, we could sort of speak a little bit broadly here and maybe set the stage with what's new with you in 2023 and what's new with Loom Cannabis Company.
Sure. Well, happy to be here. Thanks for having me back. And I'm stoked that you got to go tour or visit one of the Loom stores. Petersburg is a very happening store. That place is always busy. It's one of our busiest stores that we have. We've got 35 open now. You know, we started back in 2019, and it's been a gauntlet and a sprint since then to get to the point that we're at. But you know, obviously some rapid growth had to happen there, and you know, you mix that with what was going on and what still is going on in the Michigan marketplace, and you know, that's a recipe for adaptation. You have to adjust and adapt to what's going on to be able to survive. You know, and you know, we had a saying here that survive was the new thrive, because it was difficult to thrive in the market and the opportunities that were placed on us by such drastic oversupply and over licensing. But you know, Michigan and I guess Loom now is in a great spot. We continue to open retails and to expand and grow both cultivation and processing capabilities within the company. We have a 250,000 1,000 square foot indoor facility right smack dab in the center of the state. And we also do processing there, both hydrocarbon and solvent free processing, where we, you know, produce a lot of live rosin and make a lot of our gold label solvent free products out of. But some of the newer additions out there are our in-house gummy manufacturing. So we have a fully automated gummy line now in-house that we can produce really, really high volume gummies. I think we're selling, you know, a couple million a month right now individually, and we're able to produce that in-house, which is fantastic. We're quickly outgrowing the equipment. You know, something else we've kind of had to get our hands around lately was, if we're not able to produce an individual SKU or new product, if we're not able to produce that in the millions, then we simply can't make it. Just with the sheer product demand that we have at our retail level, you know, we have 35 retails now across the state, and a massive footprint, which then translate to a massive throughput for products. And a lot of these new products that are innovative and new to the cannabis market don't have automation built around them yet. And so, you know, that's difficult in some aspects where we don't get to participate in creating a lot of these brand new products. But in some aspects, you know, if we do create something that is new and we do have automation around it, we might be one of the only ones around that can produce that in volume as well. So there's, you know, there's ups and downs to the volume and production required and being in the size that we are. You know, and then the other piece I was getting into that we can't forget is the outdoor farm that we have, because Lou has a massive outdoor facility set up, and it really has a lot of new technology as far as automation goes on the harvest side, which when you get into the sort of volume that we're at is really, really required to be able to achieve that, especially harvest time. You're held to the restrictions of Mother Nature, so you can't take your time. But Loom has a large, fully automated greenhouse, 8 hoop houses, and then about 70 acres of canopy. And it's a beautiful site. You know, we're continually expanding that as well. We started out at just under 20 acres, and we've grown into 70 acres up there. This is our third year planting. We have plants in the ground right now, and we expect to go to 110 acres of canopy by next year. So the farm is an amazing site. We use all tractor, GPS mapped rows, biodegradable plastic culture, drip irrigation, and we can fertigate our entire 70 acres of field that we have. It's in a beautiful piece of private property in Michigan, about a 8,000 to 10,000 acre private farm. So there's nobody around us. You know, we have no neighbors, and we have, of course, the luxury of land, the ability to expand at any point in time as we need to. The post-harvest infrastructure is really impressive up there. We use hydraulic buckers. Everything's automated. It dumps on the conveyor belts, and we use these big automated dryers that dry over a 24-48 hour period. So we're still able to preserve good terpene levels. It doesn't do the tumble dryer or the conveyor belt dryers that can just obliterate your product. It's much more gentle than that. And you know, nothing feels better than growing really high quality flower using Mother Nature, using the rain and sunshine. So the farm's always expanding, always growing. The indoor facilities are doing the same thing and kind of expanding our production line. And then the retails at Loom has been, you know, a big story since day one, with just the sheer volume of growth that we've had. I believe we were the fastest growing cannabis company in the world by going from zero to, you know, we're at 35 retails now. But during that first initial stretch right before COVID, you know, we had opened, you know, around 15 retails in the first couple years, and we were up to 20 to 25 by year two, creeping to year three, and just experienced really rapid growth and got to spread out across the state and really establish ourselves here in Michigan. But, you know, here we are in 2023, and we got plants in the ground, the outdoor field, and we're continuing to open new retails in the state. We just opened our Southfield store and our Berkeley store near Detroit. So those are two excellent locations, and And we already have people, you know, flowing in there. So it's great to be operating and rolling in Michigan. Now the market's just kind of getting a grasp on itself here now.
Yeah, certainly an interesting time. And of course, it's been fantastic getting to watch this Loom story unfold over the last few years, just from our perspective here at the magazine. And, you know, it sounds like one of the major themes that's emerged over those last few years for Loom and certainly for other companies has been automation, kind of a broad topic, but no doubt it's going to come up at the conference, both at the Cultivation Roundtable, I'm sure. I know you're leading a session on management and leadership. So I know, you know, it's not like a business can simply snap its fingers and begin automating processes overnight. So I guess one of my questions would be, how might a cultivation business begin thinking about incorporating automation into their workflow, you know, incrementally? What's maybe a good starting point or a good way of thinking about that?
I think, you know, the way that we approached it was where are our bottlenecks? You know, where are the bottlenecks in production, and what would be the biggest relief valve that we could pull? And you know, what's the fastest ROI on our equipment? You know, not everybody has the luxury of spending high dollars, you know, a lot of money, especially on equipment, during a time of a downward market turn and diminished profitability. So those are sometimes difficult decisions to make and difficult, to be able to have that ability to achieve in the first place, but to really assess what is needed. You know, for us, it was the bottlenecks, and for us, the bottlenecks had always happened around packaging. And I'm sure that that is the same with other production facilities. And on the packaging side, it's kind of when everything's coming to fruition from that raw material, you know, it's been dried, it's been tested, and it's got to get into a package and labeled. And, you know, when you're talking about 5-10 pounds a week, that's no big deal. But when you're, you know, 5,000, 10,000 pounds a week, then all of a sudden that absolutely has to be automated, or you've got 400 people working full time just putting labels on stuff and packaging for you. So I believe there is that tipping point, and I think that anyone who is producing, you know, 100 pounds or more a week is already looking at some sort of automation to help them, whether it's putting labels on jars or bags, or it's putting the flower in the bags itself. It's automatically weighing the product and material for you. Those sort of things can make a big difference. That equipment, like I mentioned before, it's not inexpensive, and it's nothing to scoff at. It does take you know, technical eye and mind of an operator to correctly run, and also to be able to calibrate on the fly as you're operating, putting in different types of flour, maybe you're weighing different increments and things like that, all play a big effect when you're choosing that equipment and operating it as well. But for us, those bottlenecks were what needed to be assessed first, and really and offer us that relief valve. So packaging is where we kind of had started our automation. And worked our way backwards from there.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think that point about assessing and assessments is super important. And of course, at a high level, over the course of a year or two, it, you know, it's easy to see trends and opportunities within the business. But I'm wondering if maybe we could drill down a little bit to like the day-to-day work that you do, and you know, realizing that each day is different, and harvest cycles kind of dictate what each day looks like. What are some things that you personally make sure to do each day you're at the facility, just to keep tabs on the movement of the whole process day to day?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I smile and say hi to people, you know, and you can't forget to do that. I think it's easy to get lost in the value of the crop and how important this is and much is riding on the success. So, that's what I do first. And I try to, you know, visit. We have a lot of people. The company has over 1,000 employees. I myself at the indoor facility have right around 300. And then at the outdoor farm, we have about 120, 140 during harvest time. So, you know, just under my eye, we've got about 420 people. And I think it's important, first and foremost, to make sure that the communication lines are open, and that people feel comfortable and okay to talk to anybody really about anything. That's how we get better. So that's important. Functionality wise, I have a dashboard at my facility that we run live. It operates live. I've got a couple full time software engineers that work at the facility that help facilitate and create some of this software that really is collecting live data, both from our state reporting system and our internal SAP or inventory control tracking systems. And that allows me to see what's going on at the facility. You know, we've got between indoor and outdoor, we've got licenses for, almost 80, just shy of 80,000 plants. So with that volume of plants and the number of turns you're getting a year, there's always moving parts. And to be able to keep your eye on that stuff and what's happening real time, you have to have a dashboard that allows you to see all of that data. So I have my dashboard on my computer. I'm checking in with everything that's going on, making sure that nothing seems out of place, or we're not falling anywhere. And then with my position and where I'm at our indoor facility, we've got at least 13 different departments there that all kind of rely and depend on each other, but are all also very different. And to make sure that those departments are all communicating, we have weekly meetings with all of our leads and managers, where we're all, just talking about what happened before, what's going on now. Like I was saying before, as simple as that sounds, that stuff is really, really important. And building those bonds with the leadership, as well, continuing their leadership training is something we do in-house also. And that seems to make a massive difference. We do a lot of hiring from within, and a lot of our management has actually been developed, from internally, and that's been something really cool to see happen at our facility. I would say the majority of our leadership and management has worked their way up the ranks through the facility, starting out maybe even towards the bottom as a trimmer or as a packager, and work their way all the way up, showing their leadership skills and their drive and their want to help and lead and been able to earn their spots. And that's been a cool thing to see as well. But
I mean, obviously this topic is near and dear to your heart. It's worth mentioning too, as we're talking, that you had earned a Cannabis Leadership Award from Cannabis Conference just 2 years ago. And that was a really fantastic moment. We loved that event and loved your speech up there on the stage. And of course, this year, you'll be talking at the Cultivation Roundtable and leading a session on that's called the Management Bootcamp. So this is all, it's clearly very important to you. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how business owners or growers of all stripes might prepare for some of those conversations at Cannabis Conference. Meaning, are there questions that would be helpful for them to bring, or things to think about over the next 5 weeks to really get the most out of this show?
Yes, absolutely. I think most of the issues are probably, on the forefront of most of these operators' minds. I know that some issues are bigger than others, and ones that you're looking to tackle. The thing about cannabis is there isn't a textbook. There's no one solution fits all, and really rarely is there just one right answer. So something to consider and to think about, I think, before showing up to the roundtable is, sure, what's hindering your business? What would help you? But more so, what is some things that you're looking for, that you're looking to achieve, but you might not know the solution to. And that could be anything from employees, employee culture, all the way down to automation, specific product types. There's the smaller things that hinder us, and then there's the big things that hinder us. Small things, could be things as simple as maybe a package producer. Maybe you're purchasing packaging from a manufacturer and you're getting charged double the cost and you just don't know. This is a great place to talk to people. What are you spending? Where do you get your products from? What do you guys use as a backup? What happens if, you know, you get the wrong size package? What are your lead times? Those sort of conversations with other really high level operators that are producing on a commercial scale and commercial volume, you just aren't going to find anywhere else. And I think that has extreme value to operators and even to myself. So I think that's something to look at and to maybe wrap your head around before you get up there.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I'm really, I think the whole team is cognizant of in this sort of tough summer of 2023 here is that, you know, it may be a lot to ask folks to take a handful of days off and come out to Las Vegas to have those conversations, as important as they may be. And to that end, I know that you have essentially bought up a few passes to give out to Loom team members to send them out to Canvas Conference. So I'm curious if you could maybe speak to, I guess, the value that team members at a cultivation business might get out of, you know, maybe it's 3 days away from the facility and why that's important to you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think people have mixed feelings on conferences. Either they love them or they hate them, or they think they're great or they think they're a waste of time. Well, I think that the only people who think they're a waste of time are people who haven't gotten everything out of them that they could, and they haven't networked the way that they could have or should. They're a fantastic resource. And especially even if you think you know everything and you've got it all figured out, I promise you there's someone there that knows something that will help you that you don't already know. And I myself have gained so much and benefited so much from not only attending those, but really having conversations with people that have similar experience or going through similar things. The pathless thing and giving away to the facility, you know, like I mentioned before, the culture is so important. And this is a cannabis convention, you know, and we have employees at our facility are all working at a cannabis facility. This is their business. This is their job. This is their life. This is what they love to do. And sometimes for, you know, your average employee, those conferences can seem a little out of reach. And what I really wanted to do was offer them an opportunity to go and pay for it. So we were going to cover the flight. So really, first of all, what we're offering is if you're in good standing, right? So if you're in good standing with the company, we operate on a point system. So if you have, you know, below a certain amount of points on your left on your employee badge, and you're in good standing with the company, and you've worked there for at least a year, then you're eligible to receive these two passes to the cannabis conference. And the deal is we would award it to one of the employees randomly. We'll do a drawing, we'll do it live during one of our company town halls. And then one employee would win a pass for them plus one. So they could bring anyone that they want, and they'll be able to go to the cannabis conference. We're paying for their flights, their hotel, food, some fun money. And then the cannabis conference, you guys were supplying two of the VIP passes to cannabis conference for them as well, which was fantastic. And I can't tell you, the reaction and the response we've been getting is amazing. We always do little fun stuffs and giveaways and, you know, popcorn on the fun. So this was different. It's a trip to Las Vegas. It's the two VIP tickets. It's hotel, flight, it's food, everything's included. And the entire facility and really the whole company has been talking about it for months now. So we're doing that drawing very soon, but it's just another, really for us, the company's kind of small thing to do a really long ways for our employees. So we're stoked about that. And shout out to you guys for supplying those two passes. That was just fantastic for them. And we've been, like I said, posting that stuff all over the facility, and everyone's getting excited about it.
Love it. Well, yeah, the sentiment is definitely shared over here. And yes, always happy to help out and, you know, contribute to that sense of excitement. I think it's going to be super fun. Kevin, I wanted to sort of leave with I guess the whole conversation has been kind of forward looking with the conference and all. But more broadly, for the rest of the year in 2023, are there any goals that you're working toward? And this could be Loom related or maybe even personal, professional related. Anything that you have on your horizon that you're working toward right now specifically?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I can, you know, I've got an answer for both of those. Well, you know, we are really looking forward to this outdoor harvest. It's the biggest harvest we've ever had. We have 36,000 plants outside in the field this year in that 70 acres. So that's a big deal, a big harvest. We're trying to have, we'll be shipping employees up from the indoor to help during harvest. It's just a lot of work to get all those plants down, and they're huge by October here in Michigan. So you know, that is on the immediate horizon for us, opportunity wise and labor wise here, kind of getting that big outdoor harvest down, get everyone excited and rallied around that. And then company wise, you know, one of the fantastic things about Loom is that we're always growing and looking to expand. And we have several places here that are opening by the end of the year. I think we have four more retails here that will be open by the end of the year. So continuing that outreach to people in Michigan and continuing to develop our products here and get them in the hands of consumers has been a both a fantastic and fun feat for operators like us. But it's also been really well received on the consumer end as well. So we're excited to get this year wrapped up. And hopefully get this market turned around. So we're on to bigger and better things in this bright future in Michigan of ours.
Fantastic. Well, I love to hear that, and certainly looking forward to catching up with you out in Vegas in just a few short weeks, and having fun at the show. It's going to be great. And you know, in the meantime, Kevin, thanks so much for the time today and for joining us on the podcast.
Absolutely, Eric. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you very much. We'll see you at the show.
And that's a wrap on another episode of Beyond the Show. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Kevin Cattay at Loom in Michigan. I know I did. It's always great to get a chance to talk with Kevin. As noted in that interview, of course, he had earned a Cannabis Leadership Award through Cannabis Conference not too long ago. And it was really a thrill to see him give his acceptance speech on stage that night at Cannabis Conference. And there's always a lot of fantastic little moments like that at the conference each year. And we're looking forward to generating some new ones, making some new memories, of course, not to sound overly sappy, but it's true. Cannabis Conference tends to bring out a lot of those little personal moments each year. And we're excited to see all of you out there this year, August 15th to the 17th in Las Vegas, to create some of those moments with us. So again, you can learn more at cannabisconference.com. Stay tuned for some more podcast episodes between now and then, and certainly beyond the show. And yeah, we'll see you out in Vegas.